Hello, my name is Brad McIntyre, and you are listening to the Cultivated Playwright Podcast, episode number 7. I'd like to admit something right off the bat. It is very hard finding time to record this podcast. I don't mean that the technical aspects are difficult. I just plug a little microphone into my phone and record whatever I say. And the editing and the other technical aspects of posting it online, those are not really that difficult. Thinking up the topics, not super hard. I keep a running list of things I want to talk about. What I'm finding very, very difficult is finding the time to actually sit down and record the podcast, because what I have to have is a quiet place where I can actually sit down for a number of minutes and speak into the microphone without being interrupted, without excessive noise in the background, and where I can concentrate for a couple of moments. That is what I'm actually finding very, very difficult about this podcast. And I want to talk about that today, because if you expand that outward, it kind of coincides with the bigger thought of trying to find time to do creative work. This podcast, as an example, is much more difficult than I initially had anticipated, just with the sheer finding of the time to actually record it. And the episodes are not even that long. And so what I'd like to go over in this particular podcast is the small amount of tricks and techniques and insights that I have about finding the time to do creative work. First off, I would like to give a little glimpse of my daily schedule. I go to bed in the evenings between 8 and 9 o'clock, and I wake up anywhere between 4:30 and 5:30 in the morning, depending on what I have to do the coming day. Sometimes I teach ESL to Chinese kids in Beijing online. It's like this teaching service that teaches English using PowerPoint and Skype-like tools. And those lessons last about half an hour, and I usually do that at either 6 or 6:30 in the mornings, two or three times a week. So I usually get up much earlier than that, sometimes as early as 4, but usually about 4:30. And between 4:30 and about 6, that's when I have time to get ready for the day, and I have a small amount of time to do whatever needs to be done, period. Let alone creative work. Any grading that has to be done, bills that have to be paid, things that have to be attended to online, loading the dishwasher, what have you, household chores, everything has to be done between those that about hour and a half in the morning. After I teach the ESL classes, I have about a half hour gap before I have to leave to go to my college teaching job. I teach the beginning part of the day. I have morning classes every day of the week, and I get home around lunchtime, and then I stay home most days and watch my young son, who's just a little over 10 months old now, all afternoon. My wife takes off, and she teaches from lunch until into the evening, and I usually am Mr. Momming it at home, and which is a chore that I enjoy a lot, but I am very much aware that nothing can get done when you're watching an infant. If you're a parent, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So that's what I do during the day. My wife comes home in the evenings, usually around 6, and between 6 and 8, that's when I have another gap, but usually I spend a good half hour to an hour talking to my wife seeing what happened in each other's day. And then I sit down to kind of prep for the next day, and the day's over. So that's my daily schedule. I should point out, in that daily schedule, there's a lot to do, and I have very, very small amount of times to do anything extra, including writing plays, reading about the theater, doing this podcast. I can't remember how long ago, maybe a couple years ago, I came across this article called The Maker's Schedule and Manager's Schedule. It's by Paul Graham, one of the co-founders of Y Combinator, which is a kind of a online getting businesses started kind of organization. I found out about it through Tim Ferriss. He mentioned it on a blog post years and years ago. If you don't know Tim Ferriss, I highly recommend you check him out. He wrote The 4-Hour Workweek. Anyway, setting aside Tim Ferriss for the time being, he's the one that pointed me towards this Paul Graham article. And it's a very short post on Paul Graham's website. And he wrote it back in the summer of 2009. And in the post, he's talking about programmers. But you can apply this to anybody that does anything creative. And he points out the difference between kind of a maker's schedule, people that make things, and the manager's schedule, the bosses or the people that facilitate and coordinate an organization. A manager has a schedule that's broken down into little chunks, you can cut the day up into small intervals, into hour-long intervals, and then those hours can be carved up into 15-minute sections, and so you can have a meeting that lasts half an hour, and then a phone call that lasts 15 minutes, and then a half-hour lunch, and then another meeting for 15 minutes, and then an hour-long conference, and so on. And all these little time units can be broken up throughout the day, and everything gets attended to if you're a manager. But if you're somebody who makes something, if you're somebody who's creative in any way, like an artist, you need uninterrupted spans of time, almost the opposite of the manager's schedule. Your schedule cannot be broken down into teeny tiny little chunks. Paul Graham points out that people that do creative work, like programmers, need hours and hours of time. And it has to be uninterrupted time. Because here's what happens. When somebody creative sits down to do creative work, it usually takes a small amount of time to ramp into it, to get your mind set to the task at hand, and then to enter the zone, you know, where you're actually working smoothly and in a focused, concentrated manner on something. So it takes, let's say, half an hour to get going. Our powers of concentration only give us a couple of hours of actual, really hardcore working time, and then you usually spend the last half hour kind of ramping down out of a project and leaving notes for yourself for what you need to do later, and so on and so forth. But he points out that if somebody comes in and pops their head in the door and makes some idle chit-chat, or you're interrupted with an email or a phone call, the person that's doing the creative work has to start all over again. They have to ramp up all over again to get their head back in that mind space that they were before. And so in order to do really concrete creative work, you need uninterrupted spans of time. And I have found this to be very, very true as I've tried to work on my own creative endeavors. In order to do really deep work in the kind of Cal Newport sort of way, you do have to have no interruptions, a workspace that's conducive to what you're working on. You need all your supplies nearby, and you need to get yourself in the mindset to tackle the creative problems that are in front of you. Kind of like I pointed out in a previous podcast of pick the challenges, pick the things that are hard. Well, creating stuff is hard. And in order to do it, you kind of need to make the conditions correct for it to happen, or the conditions right for it to happen. I recommend highly that you look up this maker schedule, manager schedule online. If you Google it, it will come up. It's one of the first or second entries. It's on Paul Graham's website, which I think is just paulgraham.com. But it's worth a look. The it's worth a read real quick, because he's much more precise in his article than I am explaining his article. When I was younger, I took for granted all the time that I had. Oh my gosh, I wasted so much time now that I look back on my life, because now I am in a position where I can only do the most essential things because I have no time, or I have no time to do anything outside of the most necessary things. When I was a bachelor, oh my gosh, I wasted so much time. Even in the early days of my marriage, I still had a lot of time on my hands. But now that I'm a parent, all time and energy goes to parenting and the daily work of maintaining a household and a marriage and these kind of bigger parts of life that have to happen. And I don't have time a lot for the creative work that I want to do. This doesn't change the fact that I still have the urge to do it. I still have a creative impulse to want to write plays, to want to direct plays, perform theater, read about theater. I still have that compulsion. And I think that's pretty good, actually. I think that as artists, sometimes we think that we should do things, and then there are things that we genuinely want to do. When we think about others in our field, sometimes we think by analogy and we compare ourselves to the people around us, and we see that this person's writing a really good comedy, so we should write a really good comedy. Or, oh, look, political satire is big in the zeitgeist right now. I should throw my hat in the arena as well. And sometimes we do things because of the pressure of the greater kind of society around us. But this is usually not sufficient for maintaining commitment to a really, really outstanding work of art. I find that most artists create things because they really want to create things. And they make time to create things because those are the things that they really must do. They really, really want to take a stab at. If you have a friend, or if you're perhaps not in the creative field, perhaps you don't understand this impulse or this compulsion, and that it can become hugely frustrating, and a person can become hugely restless if they don't get to execute the ideas that they have. I mean, we only have so long on this earth, and we have probably infinite amount of ideas, but only so many hours and so many days in our lives to execute those ideas. So the pressure starts to build up, especially if you have more and more ideas, and you can only hold it in your brain so long before you must sit down. If you're a playwright, you eventually must sit down in front of the computer screen and write the play. I found a couple of different ways around this. Some are not necessarily innovative approaches, but two things have stood out that have been working for me so far to keep me from letting that frustration build up and allowing my kind of impulse to create to come out. The first thing is I've been taking advantage of the early mornings and the weekends. On the weekends, neither my wife and I have to work, and so we go through the day in 3 or 4 hour chunks where we hand the kiddo off to each other, and we most of the time we go in and grade papers and catch up with life. But sometimes I take advantage of that time to work on a play or work on something really creative that I have been building up over the week and am itching to get to. And that champing at the bit, that is a really good way to go into something creative when you eventually do sit down, because, man, you want to get to it. You want to put something down on paper. And the mornings, of course, as I said, if I get up early enough, everybody's quiet in the mornings and nobody has any demands on my time. I won't be interrupted and I'm not letting anybody down because my wife and my kiddo are sleeping. So it's just become very difficult for me. If you know me personally up until recently, you know that I'm very nocturnal. In fact, I would reverse the days and nights if I were given my choice. I would stay up all night, and then I would sleep in the very beginning parts of the day, and I would only get up in the late afternoons in order to get to places before they close. And then I would do the same thing day after day, and I'd basically reverse what people usually assume is day and night. I love the nighttime, but now I've kind of swapped that. So now I go to bed obnoxiously early, and I wake up obnoxiously early. And I'm kind of still awake in the middle of the night, except now I'm coming at it from the other end. So using those mornings and using the weekends has helped a little bit stave off the restlessness and allowed me to make time for the really essential creative work that I need to do. And then the second thing, and this is kind of flying in the face of everything, but I've learned just to accept that to some degree I am not going to be as productive, as efficiently putting out art at this time in my life as I will again in the future and as I have been in the past. This is a time for hunkering down, and my priorities are on different things, on being a good dad, being a good husband, being a good teacher, maintaining a household, chiseling out, you know, a life outside of my creative life. And that has to take priority. And I've just learned to kind of, it's been very hard, I'll admit. accepting this and like dropping a little bit the aspect of my personality that says, hey, you're creative, you're a playwright, that's what you should be doing, and putting that aside for just a little while and accepting to the fact that I need to be doing these other things right now. It's not going to stay like that. But part of it is just accepting the fact that, right now I've just got to keep my head down and keep moving forward, and I just don't have the time, and I won't have the time for a little while longer to just do unbridled creative work. That doesn't mean I should just put everything aside for a while. It just means the flames can't be raging right now. I just need to be at a hot, slow simmer until my situation changes. I don't know if that's any help to you, but I just want to kind of talk about that in this particular episode. And I think I'm going to wrap it up as well. Thanks for listening. And this is not an excuse, this episode, but I've realized I'm not going to get these out every week. I have been trying to get them out once a week, and now it's about every week and a half. So I'm changing the every week a new podcast kind of thing. And now it's just going to be as much as I can. I will try to get an episode out. It'll probably be every week and a half to every 2 weeks. I mean, I still have a lot to say, and I still enjoy doing these podcasts, so I'll keep them coming. It's just, I just won't be able to adhere right now to a weekly schedule. It's becoming much more difficult than I thought. Hey, you can check me out at my website, bradmcintyre.com. There's links there to all my social media stuff, as well as plays that I have for purchase on Amazon, and you can get a little bit of background on me. And I want to say thanks for listening. I know a couple of people have subscribed over the last couple of weeks to this podcast according to the stats, and I really, really appreciate it. Until next time, thanks for listening.